An article published by Reuters today outlines the operations of a division of the Drug Enforcement Administration that funnels information gleaned from intelligence sources, including the National Security Agency, to law enforcement agencies around the country. This information from the DEA's Special Operations Division is then used as the basis for criminal investigations of U.S. citizens. But these investigations rarely involve national security, and documents obtained by Reuters indicate that law enforcement agents are directed to conceal what sparked those investigations, a process they call parallel construction. For example, officers may be instructed to find an excuse for a traffic stop, then to call in drug-sniffing dogs. At trial, the traffic stop would then be cited as the initiating event. The defense, even the judge, may never know the real reason the suspect was pulled over in the first place. Ezekiel Edwards, director of the Criminal Law Reform Project of the American Civil Liberties Union, says the fact that the DEA is tapping into data gathered by recently revealed NSA domestic surveillance operations raises new concerns.
That the DEA is using that information to then launch criminal investigations of Americans in presumably thousands of cases far beyond the national security context, and then scrubbing the source of that evidence such that anyone accused of a crime on the basis of that evidence wouldn't be able to challenge it. And so I think the kind of interconnectedness of the DEA and the NSA and the fact that the DEA is using this information against Americans in domestic criminal cases is something that we didn't necessarily understand or know the scope of. I think this idea of going back and essentially recreating the source of the evidence, particularly given the fact that they're using all of this surveillance data now, renders that practice all the more troubling.
This practice of scrubbing the source of the information, according to some of the articles I've read, this is like a bedrock law enforcement tool. The DEA has been doing this for years. What are the consequences for criminal defendants when the actual source of the evidence against them cannot be traced?
Well, you have the right under the Constitution to confront the evidence against you, and includes confronting and cross-examining witnesses, because that evidence, of course, could have been obtained unconstitutionally. It could be unreliable. The veracity may be able to be tested. If somebody is looking to challenge what information the government had when they were stopped, where did they get it from? Who is the informant? Are they reliable? How is the evidence obtained? They're going to be shielded and prevented from doing that. One, you have a constitutional right to be able to do that. And two, that means that people are getting arrested and potentially convicted or pleading guilty based on evidence that could be unconstitutional, that could be tainted, that could be unreliable. And that's why we have trials, and that's why we have the right to cross-examine and to force the government to prove its case. And this prevents people from doing that. There are a whole host of ways that courts have and can and do deal with classified information, confidential informants. And so there can be limits that a court puts on a defendant's right to expose or get at every single piece of information. But those are carefully delineated, and it still allows for judicial review of that evidence. And what this program apparently does is not only is the DEA shielding it from criminal defendants, the source of the evidence, they're shielding it from judges. They're shielding it from prosecutors in some cases. So in fact, no one in the judicial system or in the court system can really look at and examine the reliability of that evidence. There are many other ways that we have dealt with sensitive information, and this should not be one of them.
The Special Operations Division of the DEA grew out of the so-called kingpin strategy that was to go after the major suppliers. Is there any indication that this process or this practice of using intelligence information and disguising of the sources has leaked into prosecutions other than drug kingpin operations?
Well, I think all you have to do is look at the history of the drug war and the DEA specifically, also the ways the laws are enforced in our sentencing practices. to understand that the drug war in this country, which has been enforced in a racially biased way and is in part responsible for us having the largest prison population in the world, has been fought very aggressively and sometimes predominantly against lower-level offenders, not against kingpins. And people are serving decades in prison for having quite minimal roles in drug operations. And so the idea that the DEA or these programs are somehow cabined to deal with only the most serious drug offenders is simply not believable, because that's not how the drug war and drug enforcement in this country has worked. The ACLU put out a report in June on marijuana arrests over the last 10 years and how racially biased they are. And every year, 750,000, 850,000, close to a million people are arrested on marijuana offenses, 9 out of 10 of which are for possession. And some of those arrests are being generated by task forces, federal and state agencies. And so that's how the DEA operates. So this kind of a program where they're taking surveillance information that's being gathered across the country on all Americans to fight this drug war, it just simply flows from that it's going to be going after and using it to go after very low level offenses. I'd also just like to note that it's another example of the DEA and other governmental agencies under the broader powers granted in the national security field post 9/11, the Patriot Act, et cetera, using those powers not to go after high-level terror operations, but actually to go after a whole host of domestic enterprises, including drugs, no-knock warrants or sneak and peek warrants. Most of those are used in drug cases, not in national security cases.
So what can be done at this point about this practice and this program?
As with so many other recent disclosures about the surveillance practices of the government right now, we want greater oversight, transparency, and accountability, and it should really be coming from the government. It shouldn't have to come through leaks and whistleblowers and then forcing the government to either admit or defend. We also, of course, would want simple constitutional practices and fairness. And so if you have oversight, transparency, and accountability, then you can start to allow defendants who are facing deprivation of their liberty in court on the basis of such evidence the ability to challenge that evidence. And if it's constitutional and if it's reliable, so be it. But if it's not, we, defendants and all of Americans, should be able to know that, challenge it, and deal with it accordingly.
Ezekiel Edwards is director of the Criminal Law Reform Project at the American Civil Liberties Union.